Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
This weekend I went to a local queer bar called Milk, named after Harvey Milk, shout out.
I've heard of it.
It's a really fun spot. Last weekend was the LDS conference, which is like when all the like authorities of the church get together and like give talks for like 2 days straight. So the theme was missionary realness. Okay. So me and all my friends, we dressed up as missionaries. Me and another friend, we dressed as sister missionaries. And then everyone else wore like a little button-ups and like black slacks. And we were in a group that had a bunch of return missionaries as well. So it was really fun. No one wore their tags, but the bartenders were wearing a bunch of tags. We were like, we should have like made some or like, you know. But we showed up to the bar. The only people who are dressed as missionaries are the staff and are the bartenders.
No, I know. And lame, lame. Kick everyone else out.
And that's the thing is people like came up to us. They're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, the category is missionary realness, lame.
No, I hate nothing more than a party pooper at a themed party.
I know.
You don't have to like spend money. You don't have to like get crazy with it. Mm-hmm. But if you're not going to try to match the theme, stay home.
I know.
I don't want you there.
But that's the thing is people came up to us. They're like, what are you doing? They had no idea. And it was like a club on a Saturday night. But I was like, lame as shit. Like, what the hell?
Seriously.
All the bartenders are dressed as missionaries.
What do you mean you're not in knee-length skirts at this club?
I was in like little bobby socks. I had like a knee length skirt. I had like a little cap sleeve. Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
I wore a little bow in my hair. We were having fun.
Good for you. No, that's cool. You're cool and everyone else is lame as hell.
I know.
Recovering Gleek presents
Slay! A queer Buffy podcast. Hi, everyone. I'm Lena.
I'm Ian.
And welcome to
Slay,
a queer Buffy podcast.
Have I ever told you, speaking of being the only person dressed at a theme party, oh my gosh, this haunts me, and I probably brought it up before, but my fifth grade teacher, there was a tradition that every year on his birthday, all of his students would dress as him because he was like, you know, in his 60s. He had a very iconic look. He would always wear a plaid t-shirt and then suspenders. Yeah, it was a whole thing. And I knew this because two of my older siblings had been in his class. Mm-hmm. And then two of my friends in that class also knew because their older siblings had had him. And my year, it was his last year. He was going to retire. So it was a big deal. It was like, let's all dress like Mr. Kiesling. And I met with my two friends and we were like, okay, it's Mr. Kiesling's birthday. We got to dress like him. We're the only ones that know this is a tradition. So it's our job to spread the word. My two friends said, we'll get the student directory. We'll call everyone. We'll not let them know.
No, no.
I got ready. I like gelled my hair to have a side part. I maybe even like spray painted it white. I had like the plaid shirt. I had the suspenders. I like went all out. And you already know where this is going.
I do.
Not only did my friends not tell anyone, they also didn't even dress up themselves.
Oh.
And weirdly, what's like more hurtful is if it was intentionally they were trying to like ostracize me, it would have been so mean, but at least I'd respect it. It was more like they literally said to me, oh, we just decided not to do it and we forgot to tell you. And I, poor 10-year-old me, standing there dressed like a 65-year-old man, was like, you forgot? You forgot? So I literally remember I had to go through the entire school day dressed like that. Thankfully, Mr. Kiesling, a real one, he was so cool.
Yeah.
And I think he could tell that I was really embarrassed. So he like made it a really big deal.
Thing.
He like took me to other classrooms to show the other teachers and be like, look at how fun this is, which was embarrassing, but I could tell he was trying to do it to make me feel better.
Yeah.
But I remember kids from other classes being like, why are you dressed like that? I remember being on the playground and seeing kids whispering and pointing at me. And I was like,
yeah,
no one knows that I'm cool and they're lame because I'm matching the theme and they are
so tough, especially like it being kind of unfortunately a secret.
Yeah, that was the thing. I couldn't point to the sign that said missionary realness. Exactly, I was like, well, our two classmates were supposed to inform y'all and they decided not to. So egg on my face.
That's so tough. Yeah,
it was brutal.
Because I do have a memory of like showing up like to crazy hair day with crazy hair. Mm-hmm. And like, I was like, maybe like all the fifth graders decided like they were too cool to participate in crazy hair day. So I just have like a cup in my hair and I think I took the cup out. But I mean, there was a sign to point to to say like, it's spirit week.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Sorry, you guys have no school spirit.
No, exactly. And seasoned committers to the bit like you and me,
I didn't get named most school spirited at Desert Canyon Middle School for nothing.
And I know that's right. I know that's right.
Throwing down during spirit week. I took that shit serious.
Of course. Honestly, though, I remember in like high school, it was really spirit week got really hard for me because I sensed that like, you know, growing up, especially in our time, I felt like it was just so not cool to like give a shit. So I was like, oh gosh, I really can't give a shit anymore. Mm-hmm. It's really tough. Or like, you know, not my safety, but like, you know, my like social standing in the school, if I care about stuff, is not good anymore. And it, you know.
And see, girl, I was brave. I remember.
And I love that.
Did you join National Thespian Society in high school?
Yes.
Yeah. Did. Did they do at my school to join? So for anyone who's unaware, National Thespian Society is essentially just like a nationwide theater group.
Yeah.
That if you're a drama kid in high school, you can join. It doesn't cost money, right? It's just like you have to. I don't remember it costing any money.
I think it does cost money.
Oh, well. But I remember it was like you had to be nominated.
I'm not sure. I may be talking out of my ass.
You had to be nominated. And then you join it. And then if you would like do
like count up all your hours of like,
you would get points for doing stuff. Like if you were in a show, you get X amount of points. If you saw a show, you get X amount of points. If you wrote something, you get X amount of points. And if you got the grand total of points by the time you graduated, you like got a special sash. That was kind of the beginning and end of it. But at my high school, to get inducted, you would be nominated. And then to accept the nomination, basically, they had a thespian inductions week where every day was a different theme. And I went, and I was fully in high school, and I went all out. And I remember one of them was like, you had to dress like a character from a musical, and you were told what you were assigned a character. And I got Sweeney Todd, and I dressed a movie I've never seen, just like Johnny Depp as Sweeney Todd. And I like spray painted my hair all big.
You still haven't seen it?
Hairsprayed my hair. Yeah, I've never seen it.
Oh.
I just like, I don't need to hear his reedy little voice singing those songs.
Yeah. Ugh. I think the movie is good. I hate that man.
I've seen the professional show. I'll watch the movie someday, but I'm not really in a hurry. But I hairsprayed my hair all big. I like put a streak in my hair. I wore like garters on my arms. I was wearing like a vest and a button down shirt, and I did a bunch of makeup on my face. And I was really quiet my freshman year. Like I did not really talk to anyone. And I remember sitting in my English class and my English teacher coming up to me and asking me if I was feeling okay because I looked sick. And the fact that I came to...
Oh, you did the makeup so good.
And I said, future makeup designer, thank you very much.
You said,
but the fact that, like, she saw me dressed like that, and her first instinct wasn't, he's wearing a costume. It was like, oh, he must not be feeling well. He looks pale. It's like, I don't know. Something about that is so embarrassing to me.
I love
that. And then we had a massive fire drill. And I had to stand, this was in May in Arizona, I had to stand out in the parking lot for 45 minutes. The soles on my dress shoe started melting.
Melting,
dressed
yeah.
as Johnny Depp as Sweeney Todd.
God, if those walls could talk.
Those walls could talk.
I wish I had a picture. Do
you
have a picture?
They'd tell us to break up. I do have a picture.
Goody.
It was my profile picture. I was incredibly proud of this costume. I'll pull it up for you.
I remember for Spirit Week, 1 week, it was like Decades Day, so I dressed as Heather Chandler.
Hell yeah.
So random.
Hell yeah.
It was like my senior year, and I remember my French teacher was like, so what are you dressed as? I was like, I'm dressed as the 80s. And she's like, no one gets the 80s right. I was like, okay.
Damn.
Okay, girl. Okay. Oh, and you had a Mrs. Lovett. Okay, that's good.
I did have a Mrs. Lovett, so shout out. I mean, we had zero classes together. We took this picture during lunch. So I was alone in all of my classes.
Yeah.
But during lunch.
Hey.
Me and Emmeline. Hey.
Shout out to Emmeline.
Emmeline.
I had no other Heathers. Because I did it all by myself.
Iconically not a group of people. Just the one.
Oh my God, welcome to our podcast, everyone. Happy you're here.
Welcome. Talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I have had a very similar experience as I did when we first started recovering Gleek, where suddenly Buffy is all I think about and all I want to talk about. And
yeah, and you're going to finish it in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm like actively having to keep myself from continuing to watch because I'm like, I can't get my wires crossed. I need to know what happened in the harvest. I can't like accidentally start talking about Double Meat Palace. Hello.
Don't I know it? Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm feeling the same. Last night you texted me that you're going to start watching Angel, which that's super exciting.
Hey.
I had a friend reach out to me who is watching Buffy right now, which, oh my God, like I've literally never had a friend watch Buffy before. So I'm really excited. But she was like, when should I watch Angel? And I was like,
said, you're asking the wrong bitch.
I know. I was like, actually,
she should watch Angel, though, starting after season 3 of Buffy's when she. But it's tricky. Okay. Either you trade off, either you do like one Buffy, one Angel, or if you want to stick to one show, you should watch season 4 Buffy first and then season 1 of Angel.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll let her know. And maybe I'll do that. Or maybe I should just watch it now. I am committed to watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited as well.
So some lore.
The way people describe it is like exciting.
The lore is that I watched season 1 of Angel and then stopped because, and maybe my opinion will change, but as a 17-year-old, I just did not find Angel to be a compelling character.
Me neither. And I don't like cop shows.
Yeah.
So really, everything I've heard about it, I've heard people enjoy it, but I just like, I don't think I'm the target audience.
Yeah.
And Angel isn't my favorite character.
A lot of our recurring characters from Buffy that I love so much are in Angel a bunch.
Yeah.
Like in Angel more than they're in Buffy, which that is what makes me be like, I should go back and really.
Yeah, I should give it a chance.
We'll see. I remember this isn't a spoiler because no one knows who she is if you've never seen it. I do remember Faith's appearance in season 1 of Angel. Yeah. I was like, this is art. This is television.
Yeah.
This is the greatest thing ever captured. But all the episodes preceding it, I was not very into.
Yeah.
Hey, but we're not here to talk about Angel. We're here to talk about Buffet proper. Buffet proper.
Do you want to hear some slacks?
Hell yeah. Tell us about the harvest.
Oh yeah, it's time for the slacks.
The Harvest is the second episode of the first season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and the second episode in the series. Written by Joss Whedon and directed by John T. Kretschmer, who is not the guy from last week.
Sorry, finish your thought.
No, I mean, it's just so interesting. These are companion episodes. You would think that like they would have one director for both.
Yeah, and they aired on the same night.
Simultaneously.
Yeah, it was like just it was a double feature.
Yeah, but they brought in a different guy.
That's so interesting.
Maybe the first guy really had such a terrible experience. He was like, get me out of here. I don't know, maybe. This episode originally broadcasted on March 10th, 1997. Same day as last week. They obviously it's been so long since I've done Glacts or any sort of fun fact. I don't remember how to talk.
You're doing great, babe.
Like we just said just a second ago, they were companion episodes. They aired on the same night. Let me tell you some fun facts. Joss Whedon noted that he felt horrible for giving Eric Bellaflor, who plays Jesse, so many lines with S's in them. He had such a difficult time getting the lines out around the prosthetics that new ones were being designed for the vampire characters to speak frequently. Jesse had such a tough time that they went back to the drawing board and they were like, we have to get new vampire mouths and vampire teeth because this isn't going to work. They can't say their S's. So they redesigned them, but they kept this design for the people in the background, which is super awesome.
Can you imagine Jesse, a character we know, we have this dramatic reveal and Xander's like, Jesse, and he turns around all dramatically and he's like, it's still me, Xander. Honestly, I'd be into it too. I do quickly have an Eric Balfour fact that I cut from last week because it was a spoiler, that originally Joss Whedon wanted to put Eric Balfour, who played Jesse, in the opening titles so that it would be a shock when he dies this episode. But then ultimately it was too expensive because he would only be in the opening titles for that one episode and then every other episode he wouldn't. And it was too expensive to do the opening titles twice in one season. So didn't happen.
The Master has a line that says, you're all weak. And that is in reference to Mark Metcalf's famous line in Animal House.
What the hell?
I know.
The Master is a big Belushi fan?
I guess so.
What on earth? Okay, cool.
I know. I was like, oh, okay, not afraid of reference. I love that. The Harvest, along with Welcome to the Hellmouth, had an audience of 3.4 million households upon its initial airing, which is super awesome. And really cool. Those are my slacks. A lot of people like to associate this episode with the forming of the official Scooby gang. Because last week, you know, they hadn't really teamed up. Mm-hmm. And this week they officially teamed up. And Jesse isn't a part of the Scooby gang. So.
Heck yeah.
Welcome to the Scoobies, sorry, y'all. Sorry,
Jesse. I'm glad you said it because I wrote Scooby in the recap. And I was going to be like... Yeah. Should I refer to them as the Scoobies? We're going to refer them as Scoobies.
People say that this is the episode that they became the Scoobies.
But because they're not called the Scoobies till season two is why I was like, do we? Yes, exactly. So for any first-time watchers, Buffy and co, if we refer to the Scoobies or the Scooby gang, that is what they come to be known as in the show. Yeah. And it's just easier from the jump to be saying Scoobies and not being like Buffy and her friends. Hell yeah!
It's basically anyone who supports Buffy in her slaying.
So all of you, hopefully.
Yeah, we're all in the gang.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
I've got a recap now. Are you ready?
Born ready.
Oh, yeah. Previously on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. After getting trapped by vampires in a mausoleum, Buffy manages to rescue Xander and Willow, bringing them into the Slayer fold, while Jesse is captured by vampires Luke and Darla. The Master decides to use Jesse as bait to lure Buffy and a stubborn Xander into the sewers, but our heroes escape, sans a newly sired Jesse. Meanwhile, Giles and Willow discover that tonight is the Harvest, a night when the Master can feed through an avatar, Luke, until he becomes strong enough to break free of his...
avatar.
That's what that word means!
I know, I like it. It just made me giggle. I'm sorry.
You're fine. Until he, the Master, becomes strong enough to break free of his underground imprisonment. Vampires and Scoobies converge to the Bronze. Xander dusts Jesse, R.I.P. Horny King. Buffy dusts Luke, keeping the Master trapped underground, and everyone else rationalizes the night's events as a biker gang turf war. And that's the show.
Isn't that so funny?
I love that. And I do.
I love that too.
That's one of my favorite aspects of this show. In the same way that last week the guy dies and everyone just kind of like moves on, I think this is also an essential tone establishing moment to be like, literally, no matter what happens, people are going to do everything possible to explain it away as something normal.
Yes.
And that is how we're going to get away with Buffy Foley doing a flip onto the stage in front of everyone
and killing a vampire.
And everyone the next day being like, oh yeah, Buffy's that weird girl and she's not a superhero.
Buffy's that weird girl who kills guys.
Oh yeah. I think it's smart too, because
I think so too.
It makes the show more fun. However,
yes,
if it wasn't touched on, it would bother the hell out of me.
Oh my God, totally.
So for them immediately to be like, here's the rules of the world. Everyone is going to explain it away and they're going to forget about it. Are you on board moving forward? Now that I know that they know, I can accept it.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's probably true to life. Like we rationalize so many things that we see and we rationalize so many things that are going on because that's what our brains do. I also think it makes me think like, I don't know if this is true, but in my moments of, you know, thinking about Sunnydale High, it is built and we don't really have the words quite yet. They call it a hellmouth, but they're not entirely sure what's what. Mm-hmm. But they live on this, they live in this area where mystical things are constantly happening. It's not like super weird to think like, A, they see this shit all the time. B, something could be even keeping them from like,
yes,
not rationalizing it, you know? Like the Hellmouth could be like infiltrating their shit.
Yeah, there's like a group psychosis, but the opposite of a psychosis, where instead of imagining crazy things,
the Mandela effect.
Crazy things are happening and you're imagining normal things instead.
Yeah. Did you love this episode?
I did. I like the first half more than I like this half, but this half is still extremely strong.
Yeah. I think
it's still great.
I love the stuff at the Bronze. I love the Scoobies banding together. We have some really awesome moments with, you know, Giles being too British. I think this episode's really awesome.
Yeah. My first...
really awesome Cordy moments, I swear to God. Oh my goodness.
A first shot of my girl Harmony Kendall. Okay, so I love Harmony so much.
Yeah.
That in my mind... she's always in this show. In my mind, it's like, where's Cordelia? Harmony Kendall is not far behind.
Yes.
Last night, while watching this episode, I went to look at how many episodes Harmony's in. Girl is barely in this TV show, literally at all.
No, I know. And
this episode's a bad example. But in my mind, her scenes in the show are so iconic. Literally am like, she's a secondary lead of this TV show.
You're kidding. I love that. That's you rationalizing something that's weird.
Exactly. It's bizarre to me that Mercedes McNabb is not in every episode. So I rationalize that by saying, no, she is.
And she's here.
She is.
No, she's close by.
And part of it is also, what were you going to say? Sorry.
I was going to say, she goes to the school.
I know, that's the thing. She's close by. part of it is also... Mercedes McNabb is in some of my favorite movies ever, the 1990s Addams Family movies.
Of course. Uh-huh.
And specifically her performance in Addams Family Values is like...
icon.
One of the best performances in the movie. She is so funny in that movie. And what happened to her career? Where's Mercedes McNabb?
I know. What is she up to?
She should have been in Buffy more. I looked it up last night. She hasn't been in anything in like 10 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know
Mercedes
what the deal
McNabb,
is.
What
I
are
even
you doing?
Went on her Instagram. She went to a 90s themed costume party because she knows how to dress for theme party, as the cover of American Beauty.
Oh, my God.
That's what she's up to. That was on her Instagram. Anyways, my first order of business for this episode, genuinely, the first thing on my list that we have to get to is Luke and the Master are for sure banging.
Oh, no, they're fucking.
Absolutely.
They're fucking.
Absolutely.
The way when Freaky Luke drinks from his wrist, I was like, oh my God, put it away.
Literally, that scene started.
You would have thought it was his wiener.
No, genuinely, he's given him a blowgy.
Literally.
That scene started and I was like, I just wrote in my notes, Luke in this 3/4 sleeve and this chain. Okay, gay boy. But I thought I was just doing like a fun commentary on the fashion choice. And yeah. then he got down on his knees and started sucking off the master. And I went, okay.
I said, hello.
This is more than I remember it being.
He also, so he's like, I cannot make sense of his outfit because he has like almost a mullet adjacent. And then this chain that is like puka shell in nature, like it's really tight, and like the chains, I don't know, it's like rounded. And then he's wearing like leather pants and like a little, like, you know, 3/4 length sleeve. But then he puts on this like damask burnt velvet jacket. I'm like, who the hell are you, Freaky Luke? He's the master's.
I literally was gonna say he's the master's bottom, and then I was like, is obviously that too much?
It is. Welcome to a Queer Buffy podcast.
I guess. No, they 100%. They got freaky. They got freaky deaky.
No, they got freaky. Multiple times. And then also freaky deaky Darla in the back watching and like giggling the whole time.
Hell yeah. She's like, she likes to watch Queen Voyeur Darla.
Hey, and shout out. That's okay too. Ain't nothing wrong with a cuck.
She said gay rights.
Ally Darla. Darla is another character where obviously it's just the first two episodes, but I'm like, she's like a huge part of this show.
No, I feel the same way. I was like, Queen Mother Darla, she's like the obviously. Big bad of Buffy. And I look at how many episodes she's in. And I'm like, what show was I watching?
Yeah, I think there's another character that I always conflate her with.
Well, my thoughts on why I think so much about Darla, we actually can't address yet.
Yeah.
Because they are spoilers.
Yeah.
But I do think in just a few episodes, I can talk about it.
Yeah.
There is a reason that I think of Darla so often.
Yeah.
Even though she really is the Harmony Kendall of the Master's little cronies.
Little gang. The Master's Scoobies. What are they called?
The Master's Scoobies. They have a name. It's like the Brotherhood of something something. I'll look it up.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I was looking at the,
no, they have an official
the Buffy
name.
Wiki, and they have like roles and, oh my God, a bunch of things I've really never heard before.
The Order of Aurelius. So here's the deal.
Oh, I have heard that before.
The reason that you and I, as much as we love Buffy, we're so reticent to start a Buffy podcast is because we love Buffy. It's so important to us. But of there course. Are like full college courses about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh my God, totally.
And there are like full 5 seasons worth of comics about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And Lena and I don't even remember the name The Order of Aurelius, you know? So it was really like,
we're casual.
We're in here for a good time. We're in here to talk about how the Luke is the master's bottom and Darla likes to watch. Like, that's what we're here to do.
So if you like that, you're in the right spot. We can't remember Order of Aurelius, but we will tell you that Freaky Luke loves to suck the master off.
This freaky polythruple. Maslukla.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Honestly, in our own college, there was an English class called Writing for the Occult, and I wanted to get in that class literally for so many semesters I tried to get in that class that I literally had to take something else because I couldn't get in. And they had a whole section on Buffy.
Just in this episode, there is so much explanation and world building on like,
yes,
what are vampires? Who is the master? Why is the master stuck underground? And I was sitting there having to rewind the scenes over and over again to be like, okay, do I have this right? Are my notes correct? Yeah. I really respect it because something that frustrates me about TV shows is when they can't be bothered to remember what they've established. And clearly, like, the Buffy crew wanted to make a world that had rules and made sense. That doesn't mean that I remember the rules.
I'm here for a good time.
Three separate times I had to be like, why can the master not go above ground? I know now. I figured it out. But it really was a brain cramp for me to try and make it make sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us why.
Okay, so So the master came from Spain with his bossy bottom Luke. not a bossy bottom. Did you see that? He was certainly not the one giving orders.
No, he's called the master for a reason. Yeah. They're into some like dom subs.
Oh, hell yeah.
And shout out to them.
So they came over from Spain, and because they knew that the Hellmouth was in Sunnydale, that it was like a place where the veil between the demon world and the human world was pretty thin. And so they were like, cool, cool, cool. We're going to open this up. We're going to bring the old ones back. Back in the 30s, the master tried to open the Hellmouth. It did not work. It caused an earthquake that made a bunch of the town collapse. And in doing so, the portal like collapsing in on itself, he got stuck in the portal.
Trapped him.
So like that one little room underground is the only place the master can be in, because that is the room that leads to the other dimension. And he cannot go to the other dimension, and he cannot fully enter our world. He is stuck between them in that room.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah. And so,
Sorry, Master.
That's what Luke was saying. So that is so true. Literally, these vampires' names are Luke, Darla, Thomas. This kinky bastard makes him call him the Master.
Yeah, the Master.
Whoa.
Freak. Like, even Giles is calling him that.
Freak. Hey.
Freak.
Freak.
Hey.
But, yeah, so he's stuck in that room, basically. He's, as Giles says, he's stuck like a cork in a bottle. And if he gets strong enough, then he can burst out of it. But he needs to get strong enough, which is why the whole Avatar stuff is happening.
Yeah. The vessel.
Hey. And also, I don't know. I am still fuzzy on, are vampires human or not? Because this episode really hammers home that they aren't. That Giles is like, that's not Jesse. That's the thing that killed Jesse. That it's a virus.
Sure.
That essentially takes over a host body, but it's no, the host is not there at all anymore. It is fully a virus. But watching future episodes of this TV show, I am like,
I think it's,
I don't know how true that is.
Exactly. And I'm sure maybe, I mean, recently I read, the Edward Cullen's perspective on Twilight, that book, Midnight Sun.
Hell yeah.
And he views vampirism kind of similar to that, where he is like, I'm like barely who I was. I'm the demon that is the vampire. Mm-hmm. Like the man I once was is not who I am anymore. I'm like barely that person anymore.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can kind of get with that, where it's kind of like, maybe they're still there in like moments, but it's them plus a demon.
Yeah.
Because also their souls go away. We know that.
Yeah. These are conversations to have later
down
the line.
We're going to keep having them.
We're going to keep having them. And by the end of this podcast, we will be Buffy scholars and we will be teaching a course on it. So everyone stay tuned.
We'll be teaching a course. Exactly. We became Glee scholars. We are doctors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. Actually, that is true. We have doctorates in Glee studies from NIADA.
It's true. Exactly.
Given to us by a listener of the podcast.
Shout out to Nadia. So we'll come to learn. We also just don't know that many vampires yet.
Yeah.
We just know this.
We just know Mask Lukla so far.
Mask Lukla.
Thomas is dead. He doesn't count.
He doesn't count. And, you know, poor Jesse. He tried to even get up in there. Mm-hmm. He couldn't hang.
I
loved the way he was dusted.
That is so funny. That is so funny.
Yeah.
Xander not being able to bring himself to stab Jesse, having a moment of hesitation. Meanwhile, a girl in a panic to escape, like, shoulder checks Jesse, and he falls forward onto the stake.
Falls into it. Oh my God, awesome.
That is, I think, maybe the funniest part of the episode. It's so good. It's so good.
I think
one
of the funniest parts to me is the vampire who is the light, who's the light board up, who is manning the spotlight. And then he sees Buffy and he goes, "Rear!" Like, he like roars at her, but he still like holds the spotlight. I'm like, oh my God, dude.
He understands this is pageantry. This is a show. It takes a village. It takes a village.
And Freaky Luke is like, I need to be lit well.
Yes. Shout out to the technician vampires. It is a thankless job. But the Lukes of the world, if you can't see them, you can't see the performance.
Exactly.
Shout out to the vampire on spotlight.
And hell yeah.
Which makes me think, did they turn? No, they couldn't have. So they must have killed the other light board op. Or maybe that guy just works there. Maybe he just works at the Bronze.
Being a vampire must be literally so boring. Like, oh my God, you so are boring. Just
you have sitting, to put on theatrics.
Exactly. They're centuries old. You're just sitting around.
Yeah.
I would start ranking up special skills as well.
Oh my God.
I totally. Would learn light board operator. Hell yeah.
Oh my God. Of course. If I had the time, I would do it anyway.
You better believe the Order of Aurelius multi-hyphenates every single one. Every single
and not
one.
Not to mention, the Bronze is like the business in town, you know, and like it operates at night. I'm sure it is like probably a vampire friendly workplace.
Exactly. Like how many nights are vampires there not to eat anyone just because they're bored?
Yeah.
Like, I want to go to a club.
Because they're a bartender.
Yeah. Or they're like, I need to make some tips. I have to go to the bar. I got to pour some drinks.
I know. It's a nice way for me to connect with my community.
This is another question I have. The Bronze, how much of a club is it? I guess since Sunnydale is a small town, it makes more sense to me that like these teens are being let in.
Yeah.
But like, I remember when I was in high school, I certainly was not a person who was going out.
No.
I do remember like a classmate's band was playing at a bar. And so a bunch of us went. But it was a situation where, like, we got these big exes on our hands who would be served drinks. Is the Bronze that kind of situation? Does Cordy have, like, a big ex on her hand?
I can't tell. And I even was like, do they have, like, fake IDs? But, like, even Willow is there, so I don't think that's the case either. But I do think there are maybe clubs that do allow teens.
Yes.
Because I'm not seeing a ton of drinking in the background of the Bronze.
What's confusing to me, like spoilers but no spoilers, the Bronze continues to be a place people go when they've graduated high school. And my mindset,
oh my God, and that's lame if it's a teen
exactly. club. Exactly. That's why I'm like, it can't be a teen club because the second I'm out of high school and I'm legal, I'm not going to the teen club anymore.
Yeah, totally.
But that's why I said
I'm going to the club.
It makes sense that Sunnydale's a small town. There is no other club. The teen club and the club, it's all one club.
Also, to go to the teen club and the club on Thursday and Friday. Oh my.
They really,
God.
They're this burning that candle.
Boring as shit.
They're burning that candle at both ends.
Both ends.
That's nuts.
Oh my God. I swear to God, every weekend that I go out 2 days in a row, I'm like, I need to take a week to recover. Obviously, they're fucking 15. Yeah. Like, you know, they have more energy than me, but oh my God, both ends. Don't you have class?
Also, love that last night, Cordy got nearly stabbed by Buffy.
Oh my God.
Tonight, a man brings her on stage and is about to kill her in front of all of her classmates. And her takeaway is she goes to her friend and she's like, you should have been there. It was insane. I genuinely, like, I'm not trying to poke fun. I genuinely think that is funny.
Honestly, I love that so much because I think Cordy lives for the drama.
Exactly.
She is like, I love these experiences. Like, obviously she's in peril. She like, she like, her life is in danger. I'm sure she doesn't love that. But she is living for the... She's living to, like, write her memoir someday. And she has such a fun life.
She's small-town girl with big-city sensibilities. She very much is like, I'm too cool for this town. So anything noteworthy that happens, whether it is mortal peril or not, she's like, I knew I was exotic and interesting. This thing just happened
to me. Of course. And she survived to tell the tale. Good for her. I'm glad. The part where she is, like, chatting with her friends at the Bronze. And she's going on and on and on for, like, a whole minute straight. And then one of her friend goes, like, starts to, like, talk, like, in between something that she's saying. And she's like, okay, Motormouth, can I get a fucking sentence in? It made me giggle.
It did make me sad because where was Harmony Kendall? Mercedes McNabb is already on the call sheet. She's already being paid to be in this episode.
Harmony,
where was she?
Also asked if she was going to the Bronze, like, in their computer class. She's like, are you going to the Bronze tonight? Like, where were you, Harmony?
Well, that's okay. Hear me out. That's one of those things. I don't know if you had this experience as a teenager, but I certainly did. Where you ask your friend if they're doing something that night for the express purpose of getting them to invite you. That, like, I know Cordelia is going to the Bronze. But also, Cordelia is someone that I find very intimidating. And I know that if, like, I show up and she doesn't want me there, it's going to be uncomfortable.
Oh, my God.
So I'm asking her in the hopes that she says, oh, totally, you should come. But she didn't say that. She was just like, yeah, I am, you idiot. And now, okay, I guess I'll go home.
Yeah.
Stand up for yourself, Harmony.
I know. Cordelia loves you. I can tell.
You know, MVP of this episode, though, speaking of that scene.
Is Cordelia?
No. Or? Much love. Random long hair kid who Harmony and Cordelia are talking smack on Buffy. And then his head just pops into frame like it's a Looney Tunes cartoon and goes, who? And they're like, the new girl, Buffy. And he goes, what's her deal? That was...
Hell yeah.
I loved it. It was so camp. It was so stupid. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I think that is something about this show that I genuinely didn't comprehend as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Is how much the show is purposely silly. How much the show is like, we're having, like, you guys, at the end of the day, they're fighting vampires. Like, yes, there are real stakes and we care about these characters. But at the end of the day, this is a silly idea and we're going to have fun with it.
I was thinking about that today, too. Even with, like, at the end of the episode when the Scoobies are all together, Giles and Xander and Willow and Buffy, and they're all talking about how no one really remembers or, like, has... No, like everyone is like calling it like a biker gang, whatever the hell. No one understands that it was vampires. Anyway, and the way that they're like talking about how they're going to save the day and how Buffy wants to get kicked out of school and just like just the silly things that they're saying. And then Giles turning to the camera and going like, the earth is doomed. Like, it's just like that. In my mind growing up, this show was like high drama, and it is high drama in moments, but I was not giving it the credit it deserves for like as silly as it is.
Yes. Yes.
Like it's B-movie silly. It's awesome.
Exactly. Exactly like that quote said, it's B-movie with stuff going on underneath.
Exactly.
And I do.
It's so awesome.
I do think, and this is certainly not an original thought. People talk about this all the time. Literally, there's a whole book written about it.
Yeah.
But camp is art. Like,
yeah.
To be able to create something that is stupid and silly is a work of art. And then to be able to do that and then also give it all the pathos that Buffy ends up having.
100%.
I think is incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
You get,
I agree.
It, to quote Hannah Montana, you get the best of both worlds.
Ugh,
I'm laughing, I'm laughing, I'm giggling, I'm tickled, and then suddenly there's a tear in my eye.
Yeah, like what the hell happened?
And suddenly I've learned a little bit more about what it means to be human.
Uh-huh. And I feel empowered to face my day.
Exactly. And I feel a little less alone about what it's like to go through adolescence.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Can we talk about, we had some big Xander moments in this episode, which I thought would be fun to chat about because obviously I get where he's coming from, but it did piss me off and is a reason that Xander sometimes irks me. But he does go on a journey here that I'm not like, I'm not angry with him. Buffy comes back. She survives Freaky Luke trying to attack her because that mysterious guy gave her a necklace. Thank God he did that. He really saved the day. So Buffy is like, I have to go alone. Like, I'm the Slayer. You guys are not the Slayer. Like, I don't want to put you in danger. Yada, yada, yada. She's telling them the spiel. And then Xander is like, oh, so you don't think I'm a man? Oh, so you think I'm a puny little boy who like can't take care of himself. And I understand where he's coming from. This is also his like first interaction with like, you know, Slayer, Scooby type stuff. But it speaks to a thing that I don't appreciate about Xander, which is he respects the Slayer for what it is, but he doesn't like you know, his masculinity like gets in the way, which I think is like a good story to tell, but it does make me angry to watch.
Yeah.
So then he like puts himself in danger. He follows Buffy down the crypt. Then they find Jesse and like he is in danger the whole time and Buffy has to like save his ass. And it's just like, it's not a thing I appreciate about a member of my Scooby gang. But everyone's got their faults.
Oh yeah.
Toxic masculinity can be one of them, I swear.
Oh yeah. No, I like the story that is being told, like you said.
Yeah.
Xander's a dumb teenage boy.
Yeah.
And we are all victims of the patriarchy. And Xander so has true. Been fed messaging all his life that to have any value, he needs to like be a protector and a provider.
Yeah.
So he feels like his worth is being threatened. Is that a healthy and correct feeling to have? No. But like, you know, his worth, he feels like his worth is being threatened because this is the one thing that like he's been told is his role. And suddenly this girl comes along and does it 1,000 times better than he could.
Exactly.
I don't take umbrage with him going in the sewers because
Jesse's his boy.
Exactly. He keeps saying like, Jesse's my bud. I can't just stand by and do nothing. And while I think he's a dumbass for going down there and he's not going to be any help, I also can respect that. That it's like,
I agree too. Like coming from a place of, I have to see my friend and like a moment of bravery, I think that's good.
Yeah. It's like, I can't just stand idly by when my friend is in mortal danger and not help.
Yeah.
So I like him going to the sewer, even though he actually is just making things worse for Buffy the entire time.
Exactly.
He at least had a noble reason for doing it.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's the conversation they have in the library where he's like, oh, so I'm less of a man. Yes. You don't think I'm a real man?
Yep.
Which I think, God knows, I really need to like learn how to watch a show and not like internalize that. Not the internalize it. Just because they're saying it doesn't mean they're like condoning that behavior or like his attitude.
And I feel like Buffy is doing actively the opposite. The reason that that happens is because they're trying to show that that is an unhealthy outlook to
exactly.
have.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm just not understanding that story they're trying to tell me. I'm just getting angry. Anyway, but there's this moment where they go find Jesse and Buffy like vampire bowlings and like throws Jesse into a stack of vampires and like they all throw back, but Buffy can't close this door. She is like really struggling to close a door, which if we from the two episodes I've seen of Buffy the Vampire Slayer is she can't just close a door. She can fucking break a door. And then she's like, Xander, come help me. Come help me. And then Xander helps her close the door, which I think could be just a moment of friendship. But also in my mind, I was like, she can close that door. She's just trying to make him feel better. She's trying to make him feel like.
I love this take. And I love this take. Just trying to give him some masculinity back.
Exactly. And I mean, hey. Buffy, you're a good pal. You're a good pal.
Seriously. Having to defeat all these vampires and cradle this man's fragile ego.
She can't close a door. Oh my God, she's fine. Like she can. I've seen her bust through walls. No spoiler alert, but she's fine. But yeah, I think she was just trying to help her friend.
Oh, that didn't cross my mind, but that's canon to me. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because he's feeling emasculated. He's like, you think I'm a puny man. Yeah.
Yeah. Which ultimately, like, this is this girl's job in life, is not only does she have to save everyone, but she also has to look out for their emotional well-being.
I know.
Like, her constantly.
Oh, my God.
And I mean, I love Joyce Summers, and I love Joyce Summers, but her also having to constantly kind of treat her mom with kid gloves. Where it's like, you literally don't understand, the world is going to end. I cannot stay in my room tonight.
Exactly. There were so many interesting moments with the adult figures in this episode, especially with Joyce. I mean, the two I'm talking about, not especially Joyce and the principal. Joyce and the principal, where Joyce is like, you're grounded, you can't go out. And she's like, okay, but you don't understand, like, the apocalypse is going to happen. But she can't understand because Buffy doesn't want to put her in danger. And then the principal coming to her and being like, okay, well, you can't leave school. And she's like, no, you don't understand. The apocalypse is happening. I have to save my friend. And, like, her leaving school anyway. The trials and tribulations of being a teenager plus the emotional well-beings of your friends and family, plus like having to go to a fucking crypt in the middle of the day to like find your friend and like save the damn world. This woman is holding so much on her shoulders, and she takes her friend who's feeling emasculated and like
makes him close the damn door.
Close the door.
Yeah.
She is doing so much, and I love her.
And I do think that that is this episode's.
Yeah.
High school is hell.
Yeah.
Moment. Joyce has that moment where she says, I know if you don't go out, it'll be the end of the world. Everything feels like the end of the world when you're 16, which is obviously a funny joke. But also, that is how it feels when you're a teenager, where the adults have all these rules where you're like, no, you don't understand what is going on with me and my personal life and what's going on socially. And I know that you think that I need to follow these rules to keep order, but like, my entire social structure is going to come crumbling down if I don't do this thing.
Exactly. Yeah, I so agree. That line really stuck out to me. And it you're right. It's they play it for laughs, but it's so true. Like, A, it's so true to the teenage experience. And I think it's also the crux of the show, where it's like everything feels like the end of the world. It's the apocalypse every other week.
And then it's also like you have this stuff going on inside. Like watching this episode, I keep being like, just tell your mom. Like, just tell your mom.
Just tell your mom.
But Buffy has her own reasons for not telling her mom, namely what you said, that she doesn't want to put her mom in danger. And that's also, there's so many things going on when you're a kid where your parents don't understand what you're going through because straight up you won't tell them. And so your parents, you feel like these authority figures are antagonizing you, but it's because
it's like they don't have the whole picture.
Exactly. You aren't being open with them and they are not being open with you. And so instead you are both just making things harder for each other constantly.
Yeah. Mm.
And you'd think I'd have learned that lesson now and I'd communicate with people more, but Diva, I'm still a closed book.
So true.
I'll enter a room angry as hell and someone will go with something wrong and I'll go, no, I'm fine.
Oh, really?
Just like with certain people. I'm a very guarded person. It's a really unhealthy thing.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. I'm trying to be better on it. It's something I've been actively working on the last few years.
I hear you.
Here's the thing, and once again, this is not to get too personal with it, but this is a comparison that is made in the show too.
Yeah.
Where like Buffy is very guarded with the authority figures because she has this big secret about her identity that she cannot share with them because she doesn't know how it's going to come across.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure you relate to this too, growing up with a big secret about your identity.
Oh my God.
I felt like I couldn't be like, okay, so here's what's going on with me, because what was going on with me was something big and scary that was bad and was going to make everyone turn on me. Yep. And it's just a hard habit to unwire.
I totally hear that. I totally do.
What else are we talking about in this episode? Let's see.
I do have to go to the restroom.
Oh, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
We saw that creepy guy once more.
Oh, you're talking about Angel?
Yeah, Angel.
He's been granted a name.
He's been granted a name.
Our man Angel. Angel, there's just like not much to talk about because he's been given a scene in an episode, which I do think is the right move. That's not a complaint. But the whole point of his character is this man is so handsome mysterious. And he's so mysterious.
So true. He does. I'm getting both of those.
He does have the most cliche moment at the end. He has like, she actually did it. That crazy son of a bitch pulled it off.
I didn't think she had it.
I didn't think she had it in her. I do wonder, do you think the Angel theories were going insane?
Oh my God. Like at the time?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This also is, you know,
Were people theorizing? Like, how much were people theorizing about Buffy?
Oh my God, I'm sure tons. He's very handsome, very mysterious.
Yeah, I have nothing else to say about him. He's in the show. He's mysterious. What's his vibe? Shout out.
And he's handsome.
He also, like, fully knew about the sewer system. I do have something to say about him. What the hell is that? Why did he not tell her?
We need to watch our step around him. I don't think he's our ally.
Last episode gives her a crucifix and didn't think to be like, oh, and by the way, the vampire lair is in the sewers. He just kept that to himself so he could feel superior. Okay, angel.
Yeah, what the hell? He's not a friend of ours.
He's not a friend of
ours. I wonder why on earth he would ever keep that from her.
No, Angel is no friend of mine. He pisses me off. And maybe that'll change, but he pisses me off.
No, I think you're right to feel that way. We'll see what he's up to next. We just don't know.
You talking as if you haven't seen this entire show like 10 times.
Girl, it's spoiler free.
But we don't have to trick the audience into thinking that we've never seen it.
What do you want me to say? I know and you don't.
See, that was my hope, is that we'd rub their face in it. Every time literally. A question pops up, I go, and I know the answer, and then we'd move on. What else is there? What else do you want to talk about? I think this episode's great. It's the second half of a movie. You know, obviously episode one and episode two are created to be a double feature. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have a ton to unpack. It's just the resolution of what was set up last week.
Uh-huh. There's a moment where Buffy takes one of the pool.
Oh, yeah. The pool stick. Cues, yes, that's what it's
and
called.
And she stabs someone off screen and then they like are stabbed and then they fall back and it gave me the impression of that she didn't kill a vampire. She killed a person. Because, and I know the dusting is a little complicated because sometimes, like, Freaky Luke, he was stabbed. And then as soon as he fell to the ground,
good boy,
he
dusted. Luke. Good boy, Luke.
I won't call him that.
Dom Master, good boy, Luke. No, canonically, that's his name. Sorry.
His name is good boy, Luke.
Good boy, Luke.
It's not my place. I can't use an honorific. They're not my thing.
You said, I'm not his daddy, Dom. It's not my place to call him that.
No, seriously, that's freaky.
That's for good boy, Luke.
That's for me.
That's for daddy, Dom, Master. And that's for voyeur, Darla.
Not for me.
Ally, Darla.
I'm not in their thing. I can't just do that. Anyway.
Anyway,
what the fuck
think,
was I saying?
You think Buffy killed a man in cold blood?
Yes, I do. I don't think she meant to, but I think she killed an innocent.
And she certainly did not let it slow her down. She kept going.
No. The thing is, she stabs and they fall back and then I feel like I hear them fall to the ground.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think makes them not a vampire to me is you generally like... Sometimes dusting happens right at insertion of stake, and sometimes it happens like with Freaky Luke, he falls to the ground and then dusts like upon impact of the ground.
Yes, this is the debate of our time, which is does dusting begin at conception or not? Is it the second that the stake enters, is that when dusting happens, or is it a few beats? I will say she stabs Luke and has enough time to say, it's in about 9 hours, you moron, before good boy Luke gets dusted. So I do think it's a case by case. I do love the idea that she just straight up killed a civilian.
You're not in their dynamic. Don't call him that.
I am. I'm
Freaky.
Their fourth. I'm their fourth.
You're their fourth.
I'm in next. That's I'm coming funny. In. After, now that good boy Luke has, you know, gone the way of the dodo, the master is going to bring me in. He's bringing me in.
You've been promoted.
You've been promoted. You are now one of my elite employees. Woo! Comes with quite a perk. Okay. No, but there is evidence that sometimes it takes longer. But I do love the idea that she killed someone, and I stand by you that's what happened.
Yeah, we don't see the dusting, so I will never know.
We don't even see who it was. It could have been Surfer Guy from the computer lab.
Exactly.
It could have been him.
He's like, who is that? What's her deal?
Your murderer, that's
Buffy
who.
Heard he was talking. Seriously. Shit.
Willow was like, so here's all the research on the earthquake. Also, Surfer Dude was talking mad shit.
Mad so smack. Yeah.
If something bad were to happen to him, I think he deserves it.
Yeah. I think it's justified. Self-defense, I believe. That is so funny. And that's another aspect of the show being so silly is Buffy grabbing a pool cue, stabbing someone off screen, and it's staying. And then her like dodging it to go underneath. Like, that is stupid.
Yes, it is.
I love it.
She also has, speaking of Buffy as Elle Woods, a comparison we made last week, she has a classic Chutney Windham on the stand moment where the way that she defeats good boy Luke is not by stabbing him, but tricking him into thinking the sun is out behind a window and it causes him to freak out long enough for her to kill him. And then her being like, it's literally 11 p.m., you idiot.
You have no sense of time.
I love it.
You've been stuck in one room with that guy for 60 years.
He's just been a houseboy this whole time.
No, yeah. Stay at home wormhole.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. Whoa.
When me and my friends play match.
Whoa. Just a few weeks ago, we were talking about Glee.
Whoa. I know. I'm sorry. It just. When me and my friend
scrap
play
the
Mash,
good
we
boy, that's
that
his,
as one of the jobs.
That's his honorific. You put that as one of the jobs.
I always do.
Oh my gosh, I'm crying.
I'm sorry. Oh, I feel like we're being extra gross this episode. Sorry.
I literally am like, my mom's going to listen to this.
I know, seriously. And it's such an early episode.
I know. We really are. If we said tone shift.
We're generally not like this, but maybe we are.
New show, new us. We're letting it all hang out when we talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Dang.
I'm sorry.
No, genuinely, that was hilarious. Yeah. And now he's gone.
Yeah.
And now he's gone. Bye, Luke. Miss you.
See ya.
See your actor again when he comes back playing a different character.
Mm-hmm.
God, that really tickled me. Okay. Now that we've established Luke's honorific.
Oh my Jesus Christ.
Stay at home, warm home. Luke, what is there anything else to say? I'm sorry, that was crazy. Is there anything else to say about this episode? Willow being a hacker is like, one, I'm not against it. It's also like, of course she's a hacker. She's the guy in chair.
Exactly. It's the 90s. We need one.
Yeah. Buffy's our ass kicker. Mm-hmm. Giles is our dramaturg. Willow is our hacker.
And Xander is the drama queen.
Yeah. Xander is the comic relief, the bumbling.
Yeah.
He's the oaf. Which genuinely in these kinds of stories, there always is the one that it's like, and this one's for the audience. And this one's to get a little chuckle out of the people out in those seats.
There are so many awesome. This isn't a spoiler, but there are so many awesome clips of Willow doing her hacker thing that are like so silly. Like, A, it's just
Alexander going
like, and then saying like computer words that mean nothing. It's awesome.
I am obsessed. I mean, obviously, like, computers are more prevalent now than they were in 1997. But computers were still extremely prevalent in 1997.
Yeah.
Cordelia Chase not knowing what the delete button is. And I say, hell yeah.
And good for her.
Good for her. And I hope she still doesn't know. I hope she never learned it.
I saw a meme the other day that was like, a beautiful woman should never have to send an email.
And Cordelia Chase took that to heart. She
literally
said,
she
the
made
beautiful
it.
Woman. Yeah, that's her meme. That was her meme account.
She made it on her phone. She hasn't touched a computer since that class.
Exactly. Exactly. She was so traumatized by accidentally deleting her program.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Also, if Willow did that to me, her ass would be grass. I'd be so pissed.
Oh. Yeah.
I'd be so angry.
Yeah.
What line is this? Oh, I remember. Harmony Kendall, you will always be famous. You are the Howard Bamboo of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh my God, totally. That's so funny. To imagine Howard Bamboo and the things that Harmony does in the show is so insane.
I would say it's about a one for one. I'd say it's about same. It's about the same. But just a low screen time, big impact in our personal fandom. Harmony Kendall, Howard Bamboo. That moment when Cordelia and Harmony can't figure out how to do the program, and then Cordelia sees Willow going ham on the computer and goes, what'd she do? And Mercedes McNabb's line reading of this, she looks over and Willow is actively researching cataclysmic events and like deaths in the town. And then she turns back to Cordelia. And so happy-go-lucky goes, she's doing something else.
God, Harmony, love you, girl.
Well, I think that's the harvest. Is that the harvest?
I think that's the harvest. Yeah.
Hell yeah! Should we go to worst part, best part?
I think
I do think it sounds better on the tongue than I thought. It was a fear of the unknown. Yeah. It was a fear of the unknown.
It's just we've done hundreds of episodes with
best part, worst part.
So I understand. Worst part, best part. You go first. What's your worst part?
Okay, I did actually think about it today.
Okay.
I mentioned last week that I think it's fun that we don't care about the deaths, and I think that's integral to the success of the show. However, I don't like that Jesse's death is so glossed over.
So, yeah, totally. That's his boy.
Exactly. No, like, this is a close personal friend that they assumingly have known. Is that even a word? Who cares? Who they have known for years, who is one of Xander specifically's best friends. And all that happens is Xander kicks a trash can and then we're moving on. And then Willow, she literally finds out that Jesse's been turned into a vampire. And obviously, you know, she's trying to comfort herself. But she says, oh, well, at least you guys are okay. I just like wish that that moment had a little more gravitas because...
I hear you.
I don't know.
It's also like Joss really wanted to make it a big reveal that this like main character in the first episode became a vampire and died. Like, let me care about him a little more.
And no spoilers, Jesse is never mentioned again the rest of the show.
Oh my God.
And I think it's a bit of a missed opportunity that this could have been specifically for Xander. You know, the beginning of the hero's journey, for lack of a better word, which I think it kind of is. But to be so motivated in one of my best friends is gone because of this. And he kind of is doing everything he does the rest of the show in the memory of Jesse and because he couldn't save Jesse.
Yeah.
It's always bugged me that he is introduced as a lead character, as an integral part of their friend group. And then he dies. And within 2 minutes, we've moved on.
Yeah, I totally get that.
R.I.P. Jesse.
That's a good thought.
I do, however, have a fun fact that I'm just going to set up now and then it will pay off years from now, which is there was supposed to be a big time Jesse moment later in the show, but Eric Balfour was busy and they couldn't get him to set.
No. And so they cut it. See, I love that idea. And I do know that they do that a few times. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something so special about the show is the commitment to the cast, the background cast as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, A, like keeping these actors around, and B, like I want to care about these characters. So I think that would have been really fun. So where the hell were you?
And that's what's so crazy is the show is so good about remembering and honoring characters, like you said, and characters who have passed doing a good job at, you know, keeping their memory alive.
Yeah.
Not our boy, Jesse. Hey, Jesse, it feels like a party every day now that you're dead because we don't care. Because we're moving on.
We don't care. And I think, too, not to say that it would be funny, but Jesse is somehow kind of, he could have been a founding member of the Scoobies. Mm-hmm. And, like, what would that do to a friend group? Like, at its inception, to lose someone so quickly, like, I feel like I would, like, talk about him constantly. Yep. Like, oh, if Jesse was here, what would he be doing? You know? And maybe that would be funny. Maybe that would be, like, you know, maybe, like, a heartwarming thing. But, like, they totally could have done something with that.
Yep.
If at the very least, have an opinion about what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my worst part. What's yours?
I get that. I think my worst part is, and I mean, this is a show that was made in the 90s, so we're going to get more of this, unfortunately. And I mean, it's barely, I love this episode. So, I mean, there's not a ton of worst parts to me. I mean, Buffy does call herself mentally challenged, which I don't appreciate. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is a show that was made in the 90s. I know that people were saying things like that, and especially teenagers, at a, like, way more than is socially acceptable now. And I appreciate that about now, is that don't say shit like that.
Yeah.
You know? So the, that's probably my worst part.
The arc of time is long, but it bends towards justice. Is that what that quote is?
I think you're right.
Hell yeah. Sorry, Martin Luther King Jr., if I misquoted you.
I do think you're right. Yeah. But yeah. I'd say that's my worst part, but I really genuinely really enjoy this episode. What's your best part?
Gentleman's tip of the hat to the slow-mo shot of Darla and her vampire posse walking up to the bronze.
Oh my God. And she's like doing little spins.
I love awesome. That shot. But my actual best part is the conversation with Joyce. Joyce genuinely is one of my favorite characters in the entire show.
Yeah.
And her and Buffy's relationship is so layered and so realistic. Yeah. And they both clearly love each other, but do not understand each other at all and are constantly butting heads. And they are both trying to protect the other one. But because they will not be honest with each other, it is just causing them to clash. Mm-hmm. And I just think Joyce is, you know, she's a single mom. She's trying her best. In her eyes, she has a delinquent child. Her child burned down her school. And she is, you know, giving her daughter so much grace. Like, she does not treat her like she is a menace. She shows her love. She shows her respect. But she is like, hey, you cut school today and you burned down your last school. I'm reading all these parenting books.
It's the
books.
Second day of school.
Exactly.
Dude.
Like, I'm trying to do my job as your parent. Like, I just love how much love this show has for Joyce.
I agree.
I think she's a really great character. And I think that relationship is a very special part of this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your best part?
I think similar to that. I think this episode we really get like the first taste of this girl isn't just the Slayer. She's also a teen girl who's getting grounded and like has the principal, like, you know, keeping close eye on her. And she has the responsibility of like so many things and how Buffy navigates that and how she like, I just think this girl has so much going on and I just love her so much. And the moment where Xander is like, oh fuck, we didn't even like make it in time and we can't even get in. I can't believe it. And she and Buffy going, I didn't know I was going to get grounded. Like they didn't make it in time because Buffy has so many other responsibilities in her life. And I think that speaks to what it means to be a teenager in general. Like you have so many things going on and I mean a human as well. And the balancing act you have to do to be everything you are. And Buffy Summers, I would do anything for you, queen.
Oh yeah. Now here's your kill count for this episode. Let me know if I forget anyone. We have at the beginning, Buffy dusts one of the vampires who's dragging Xander away.
Uh-huh.
Then, of course, we got our bouncer who gets killed by...
Poor thing.
By Goodbye Luke.
Stop. Then, I'm so glad Luke is dead so you can never say that again.
I know. Tragic. Tragic. That could have been a long going bit. Then we got the innocent civilian, a.k.a. surfer dude who got stabbed by the pool cue. Then, let me know if you think this was a death. Buffy throws a symbol at a vampire and we assumedly they get decapitated. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. Then, of course, we have our two kings, Good Boy Luke and Horny Jesse.
Yeah.
RIP to real ones. That brings our kill count for the episode up to 6. Our overall kill count is at 8.
8.
That I like.
Did you get?
What? Ooh, what did I miss?
No, I don't think you missed anyone. There was the bouncer and then another person.
There was?
Who Luke killed, yeah. It was like a girl.
Okay. Oh my gosh, you're so right. I literally know who you're talking about. The blonde girl.
Yeah, I remember because Luke is like holding her armpit in such a weird way. Okay. It freaked me out.
I'm adding Randall Blonde. I'm so sorry to have forgotten you. Rest in peace, Diva.
Yeah, rest in peace, Diva.
I remember because she like kind of looked like Julie Benz and I got confused for a moment. It's not Julie Benz. Julie Benz is Darla.
Darla.
So kill count up to 7. Overall up to 9. And this is why I do think we both need to have our eyes on the kill count when we're watching.
Yeah.
Because the second time I watched this episode, there were 3 that I had missed the first time. Yeah,
I know. Well, when I watched this morning, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm losing track.
Yeah, no, I've now added it onto my notes that I just start writing down at when someone dies. I'm like, okay, add this person, add this person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
it's going to get harder too, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. I also was like, oh my God, if everyone in the bronze were to die, like I would probably have to like Google, like
we start estimating
what's the capacity for like a bar of that size.
Were you doing all this research?
It's a bar on a Friday night. It has 2 levels. It's a small town, so it can't be that big.
See, I'm just going to throw out estimates. I'm going to be like, there's probably like 40 people there. We're adding 40.
I was going to Google it. I was going to Google, like, you know.
Well, thankfully, they threw it at the harvest, so you didn't have to do that.
And thank God.
And that's the show. Thanks for being Woo-hoo! Here. If you got thoughts, send them to recoveringgleek@gmail.com. We will be having an episode in 2 weeks, I believe, where we are going to be reading emails, responding to them. So we'll take after which we'll take a week off from talking about episodes and we will just share your thoughts.
Yeah.
And then we'll jump back in with episode 4. So you can send those thoughts to recoveringgleek@gmail.com, baby. You can find us on Instagram, rgpresents_podcast. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/recoveringgleek.
Mm-hmm. We do bonus episodes. You can watch the videos of us. We're doing, during our videos, we also like, we usually take like 20 minutes to a half hour before to like chat about our lives. This episode we talked about some very personal stuff, so if you care about that, you can tune in, which I love to do that before. We call it the Patreon pre-show. And yeah, you also can add free listen on our Patreon as well. So
oh yeah,
it's super fun. We also love to give our top tier, our best friends of the podcast, a little shout out. So here I am from the past giving you a shout out. Okay, I bet you're wondering, will Lena be singing? And the answer is no. Ian did such a good job. I can't do a better job than he did last week. So let's do it normally, and then I'll find my own way to do it in time. All right. I love you, patrons. Here is a big thank you to Olivia, Morgs, Wish B, Ida, Jack, Hannah, Karis, Elizabeth, Depressed Bubbles, Eden, Dono5, Nikki Cowboy Emoji, Brianna, JP, Tanya, Catherine, Shannon, Rachel, Haley, Drew, Christine, Kayleen, Blake, Rachel, Allison, Emily, Megan, Audrey, Megan, Alexandra, Kylie, Dustin, Azza, Jaden, Paul, Vicky, Keely, Jasmine, Sophia, Willie, Danica, Shalane, Diagonal Toast, Mary, Kay, Asparagus Squid, 103, Reagan, Pee Pee Poo Poo, Josette, Lowe, Madeline, Alani, Elise, Blanton, Alice, Nadia, Fadia, Nicole, Caitlin, Abby, Kristen, Story, Eileen, Mallory, Samantha, Rebecca, JK, Ari, Riley, Marissa, Taylor, Carolyn, Frankie, Margaret, Despina, Emily, Han, Phoebe, Aria, Eva, Haley, Emily, Michelle, Jacqueline, Laszlo, Ray, Emma, Sam, Aubrey, Steph, Muppet Baby Cat, Charlie, Kelsey, Thomas, Chucho, Brittany, Kenzie, Michael, Katie, Elizabeth, Freddie, Allison, and stop. Love you all. Thank you all for being patrons. Sending you love. Bye.
Wow, you killed that. That was really impressive. You should be really proud of that.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Check out episode 3, Witch. Tune in next Wednesday.
Yeah. And I hope you gleeks who are tuning in are really enjoying the show. And you Scoobies who are finding us, welcome. I hope you enjoy what's going on. Usually we're not this freaky deaky, but
I know. We really, whoa.
We were on something today. I'm sorry.
See you next week. Keep slaying. Our sign off?
I kind of like that. Keep slaying.
Keep slaying.
Here is a consensual forehead kiss if you accept it.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Keep slaying.
Keep slaying.
Thank you for listening. Follow us at recoveringgleek_podcast. Email us at recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Join our Patreon, patreon.com/recoveringgleek. Rate and review us and tell your friends,
please.
Stay at home, wormhole Luke.
Do you want to bleep it out?
No, I want to keep it in. I think it's hilarious. Okay. But you and I feed off each other so much.
I know.
That I am afraid that I'm going to get very just like insular and forget that other people are listening and our old audience is listening. And we are just going to be doing stuff to make each other laugh. And then suddenly the episodes will release and people will be like, what the fuck is going
Who
on
are
here?
These people?
This is disgusting.
God, is it that out of character for
hey,
us?
Hey, gay sex is beautiful, you homophobes.
It is. Oh
Being
my gosh.
A stay-at-home wormhole is a noble life calling.
If that's what works for your dynamic,
exactly.
I think that's right.
Exactly. Check yourself.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.